Some of you started to ask me a couple of months ago, well, you've got your commodity boom, Michael. Is it over now? And I said, no, it's just starting. And the view that emerges over the last couple of days, we're really at the beginning of a generalized world trade boom, which begins this year and continues for at least 3 years. What's driving that is the enormous expansion of the US budget deficit. Last time during the previous resources boom, we had 1 year in which there was enormous budget deficit. But this time we've already had 2 years of very large budget deficit stimulus by the US. And it looks like if the budget for 2024 is passed through the House of Representatives and the Senate in the US, sometime at the end of this month or next month, we will have a third year of enormously large budget deficit. So we've got a longer continuing level of stimulus this time and a longer and larger resources boom than we had earlier on. It's very interesting to look at the commodity models that we show. I'm told that we are the only house that actually has a spot model of iron ore prices that's shown and chosen. And interestingly, in spite of all of the media about the collapse of the iron ore price, the model shows that the iron ore price is about $20 a tonne below fair value right now. And so we think it will stabilise around this area for the next couple of years. But even other commodities which for months people have thought have been overbought, things like copper, for example. Copper is, when you look at the presentation, the stocks to consumption ratio is at near the lowest level of this century. And of course that generates high equilibrium prices. And so that even though the price for copper is high, it's not high at any statistically significant level. And if you go through the other metals like nickel and zinc and lead, they're all, even though the prices are significantly higher, they're all around about fair value. There's been a generalized increase in demand, and that's because of the high level of international stimulus, and that's just going to go on again and again. But what's also interesting about this is that when you look at the soft commodities, the agricultural exports that Australia has, you've got the same kind of structure of very low stocks. The biggest agricultural export that Australia has is actually wheat. And world wheat stocks have fallen dramatically this year and are equal to the lowest levels of stocks to consumption ratio this century. And that means that the equilibrium price of wheat is now $8.74 a bushel, which is the highest model price ever in the history of the model. And even though the wheat price has rallied, the wheat export price has rallied, it's about 70 cents below the model estimate. In the last resources boom, the wheat price overshot that model by a considerable factor. And as somebody said yesterday when I was presenting that really you haven't had this kind of combined rural and mining boom in resource export prices in Australia since the 1950s. But even in the 1950s where we had what was called the wool boom, really at the same time there was a mining boom and a wheat boom at the same time. And that's the kind of behaviour for the Australian economy where we're entering. And where we get to is we get very 3 years of very strong growth in the Australian economy, very low unemployment. One economist that I was presenting to suggested we might get unemployment with a 3 in front of it, that is to say levels that haven't been seen since the 1960s. And if you have low unemployment, you have very high growth in real wages. You can see a bit of a reflection of this in what the RBA did yesterday in not slowing down. It's tapering, it's reducing the rate in which it's buying Australian Treasury bonds. There's a couple of reasons in that which I won't discuss today, but I could reflect on it with the benefit of our model of the Australian cash rate. But in the outlook that I've got in the quarterly presentation, up until the shutdowns in Sydney and Melbourne, the recent shutdowns in Sydney and Melbourne, I was showing growth rate this year with a 5 in front of it, about 5.3%, Australia dropping down to 4 and a bit next year. As a result of the shutdowns we've had so far, I've cut the growth rate down to 4.8% this year, rising to 5% next year. But one economist was saying that he thought the growth might fall to about 3% and a bit this year, but go up to 6% next year. Now, imagine the Australian economy after 2 years of recovery from this pandemic, and then you hit 6% growth next year on top of everything else, on top of all of the property boom that we've got here, on top of all of the employment boom we've got here, we hit 6% growth next year. And that's the kind of future, unfortunately, we're just going to have to live through. And the benefit that that is in terms of what that does for the improvement of living standards and the improving of housing demand and all those times. So we are looking at one of the better periods in many of our lifetimes. And I hope we all realise that it will eventually come to an end, probably in 5 years' time. All of this US budget stimulus will die and the economy will be slowing down to normal levels. But that's not the Australian economy you're going to be living through for the next 3 years.